The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before.
This great nation will endure as it has endured. Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you.
We're not, as some would have us believe, doomed to an inevitable decline. I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring.
As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it, now or ever. We are Americans.
This is Always Right Radio. Woo! On AM 1420, The Answer. Here's your host, Bob France.
Good morning, Cleveland, home of the smartest, strongest, fastest, toughest, and best-looking people in America. The best location in the nation. You're listening to Always Right on Salem 1420 WHK. Pete Kersenow, substituting for Bob France this 20th day of December 2022. Almost Christmas. It's almost Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year, even this year, with all of the decay and dysfunction visited upon us and this entire country by an incompetent, corrupt, and dysfunctional government and all of our major institutions, from the educational establishment, news media, entertainment media, music, Hollywood, big business, and now, unfortunately and ominously, law enforcement such as the FBI and the Department of Justice and even the Pentagon. Milley and Austin will discipline generals if they don't use the right pronouns, but can't meet recruiting targets, can't win a war, give $80 billion in the most advanced weaponry on the face of the earth to the Taliban, flee Afghanistan like it was on fire, and unforgivably leave Americans behind. But despite this titanic and unprecedented incompetence directly caused by leftist policies, staggering 40-year high inflation, record crime increases, unprecedented invasion at the southern border by illegal immigrants, thousands of whom have criminal records and or are on the terror watch list. There are scores of these individuals that they've encountered, let alone the ones who fled. And remember, those who are on the terror watch list have an added incentive not to be encountered and caught and released. Because when they're caught, they're going to be checking the roster and they're going to say, hey, wait a minute, that guy tried to hit us on 9/11 and boom, they get. So they have an incentive to make sure they flee. But we still have dozens who've been caught. Incredible. Crumbling infrastructure, third world levels of homelessness and infrastructure decay, feces, filth, and litter on our streets, rendering our cities international embarrassments. Schools that can't and won't teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. We're 36th in math in the entire world. 36th. Remember that. 36th. Now, on occasion, you could have some first world countries. You could have a Germany and Britain, Sweden that might exceed us. But when you're 36th, that means countries at the bottom of the educational totem pole are beating us. This is extraordinary. We won't teach, can't teach reading, writing, arithmetic, but we can teach and assist kids without their parents' knowledge to lop off body parts in an evil, dangerous, and ultimately futile attempt to change their sexes. A culture that lowers standards, celebrates decadence and dysfunction to that kind of degree? Think about that. Pause for a moment and ask yourself, try to reflect back to 3, 4, even 5 years ago and ask yourself, could you have imagined the paths to which we've come? It makes the Weimar Republic look absolutely like Victorian England in contrast. And despite our so-called elite, who are, let's face it, in truth, anything but elite, indeed, you'd have to be hard-pressed to find a more ignorant, unskilled, unimpressive, and frankly, idiotic cohort of alleged best and brightest instructing us that we in America have always been racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, and otherwise utterly unworthy of protecting, preserving, and fighting for. Yes, despite all of that, despite everything I've mentioned, all is right with the world because it is Christmas week. Christmas week. And as Ralphie, in the greatest movie of all time, and it was filmed in large part right here in Cleveland, not far from where my sister and I grew up. In fact, that same vista that you see in the Christmas Story is the one I used to see when I grew up. As Ralphie said in A Christmas Story, it's the greatest day in all kiddom. And we're all kids Christmas week. So, the decadence, the dysfunction, the delusion brought to us by the galactically incompetent Biden administration, the nauseatingly woke and ignorant educational establishment, and the utterly and ultimately decadent media can't put a damper on our spirits. It really can't. All of that stuff. It's Christmas week, especially since this is Open Line Tuesday. Open Line Tuesday. When Bob, one of the greatest talk show hosts of all time, asked me again to substitute for him, he exercised inexplicably, he does this every few weeks, inexplicably exercised appalling judgment jeopardizing 1420's FCC license once again, asking me to substitute. I said, you know, I could have some individuals come on. We could talk about election integrity. You've heard me talk about that with guests before. We could talk about comprehensive sex education. We can talk about, foreign policy. We can talk about all manner of things. But I decided it's Christmas week. We've got phenomenal listeners. They always have something to say. So let's have, and this is a little bit of a stretch because it's 3 hours of Open Line Tuesday. Sometimes it's difficult to fill in the gaps there, but you know me, I can bloviate forever and ever, amen. So I wanted to have an opportunity for Clevelanders and those in the greater metropolitan Cleveland area to talk about anything you want. Anything. Please call. We'll talk whatever you wish. The Twitter FBI collusion controversy, that's astonishing, folks. That is Soviet level. That is Stasi level type of, let's use the word collusion. Finally, appropriately. It's more than collusion, though. But that is something that should concern all of us. We could talk about the culture wars. Drag Queen Story Hour, the crisis at the border. You know, Title 42, which is really kind of a COVID-related measure to send individuals back across the border. And we shouldn't even have to have that to send individuals across the border. They should not even be coming across the border. We should have a wall. We can spend hundreds of billions of dollars on all kinds of, you know what, that doesn't do anything for the masses of people in the United States, doesn't elevate the United States, but we can't spend $10 billion on a robust wall across the entire southern border. We could do it in a heartbeat. Trump started it. the guy who's currently in the White House decided to stop it. Son of a gun. Title 42 set to expire on Wednesday. The Supreme Court has a temporary stay while they consider arguments. I think the Department of Justice is supposed to file a brief on that today, and we'll see what happens. But if the stay expires, 42 expires, Title 42 expires tomorrow, and despite the unforgivable influx we have at the border right now, it's going to get even worse. And people are coming from all over the world. It's not just from Central America and Mexico. They're coming from China, Russia, Ukraine, Afghanistan, everywhere, because they know Joe Biden does not care about his principal function, protecting the sovereignty of the United States of America. That's set to expire. And then we have woke prosecutors in progressive cities. Massive spikes in crime we have not seen in more than 50 years. Record spikes in crime. We could talk about that. We can talk about the Browns. And as many of you know, the major, major error the Browns have made and not having Kersenau in for one play. One play. If they just put me on the field for one play, it will solve their problems. Even just one play. Because then defensive coordinators from now to forever are going to have to game plan against Kersenau. That would be, horrific. Imagine that. And plus, it would distract from everybody else on the field. Nick Chubb would be running for 80 yards per carry if Kersenau were in there. Anyway, we could talk about that. We could talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, the most ridiculously named thing in the world. Whenever you see DEI, you know mischief is afoot. Take it from somebody who's a labor and employment lawyer. I see this all the time. I could tell you stories upon stories upon stories. Whatever happened to equal treatment? What happened to non-discrimination? No, we've got fancy words, diversity, equity, and inclusion. By the way, as many of you know, I'm on the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. Longest-serving member, more than 20 years. I see everything. I see all the stats. I see all the reports. These kinds of issues are things that we address usually 5 or 6 years before it even reaches public consciousness. And we have a number of studies. I'd like somebody to point to me a study that shows that diversity per se, I'm not against diversity. I'm against manufactured and compelled diversity, which is it is implicitly discriminatory. But diversity per se does not show any improvement in anything. A diverse organization, they try to tell you this or try to allude to this by having diversity. It's going to improve the output of the organization. It's going to improve the quality of the output. No, it doesn't. There is absolutely no evidence of that. So if that is one of the justifications, and it could be the only justification, because frankly, diversity per se means implicit discrimination. It means you are counting on the basis of race, sex, age, some immutable characteristic against the law. Oh, they'll paper it over. They'll make it very subtle, and they'll put all kinds of phrases in there to make it seem as if it is lawful, but it's not. Don't let anybody convince you. But beyond that, what does it do to improve the station in life for those who are the purported beneficiaries? What does it do to help the United States of America? Nothing. There's no evidence of it. In fact, look at some non-diverse societies. Japan, Korea, they're doing pretty well. You know, nobody complains that they don't have enough diversity there. Because they don't have enough diversity, their engineering or the products that they make are somehow flawed. I'm not against diversity. I'm against discrimination. I'm against counting on the basis of race. That is not American. Yet that's what the left always tried to do. The left, forever and ever, has been obsessed with race. But they try to project and say it's the others who are obsessed with race. We can talk about that. Let's talk about that, okay? And we can talk about the corruption of our electoral process. Okay, we can talk about that. Think about things. It is Open Line with Pete Kersenau. The number, if you wish to participate, 216-901-0945. 216-901-0945 on Christmas week. Or if you're calling from Afghanistan, 1-888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Open Line Tuesday with Kersenau. Call in. Outstanding. outstanding bumper music for Pete Kersenow substituting for Bob France. I was remiss at the outset in telling you who I am, but I think many of you do. You know that on Tuesday, I'm Bob's regular guest. I am a lawyer. I'm a member of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, as I said at the outset. I write for a number of publications, National Review. By the way, National Review and I don't agree on a lot of things, believe me. I've been writing for them, however, for more than 20 years, and despite the attack that they've taken, I continue to write because, frankly, their readers need a forum where views such as mine can be expressed, and I think many of my views are shared by many of you. I'm also an author. By the way, my latest book came out last week, Devil's Weapons, doing spectacularly well. Great stocking stuffer, great Christmas gift. Urge you to buy it. The Devil's Weapons. I'm ghostwriting for the great W.B. Griffin, who had about 35 New York Times novels on a variety of areas. I'm writing the Men at War series. It's a phenomenal read if you want to. And all due respect, I actually believe if I'd read it independently of knowing who I was, I'd say, hey, this is not too bad. But in any event, that's who I am. We have people holding. Before I do, I want to exercise a privilege. And recognize a few people. Some of my best friends, great Americans, Connie and Terry Walworth, who are listeners to this show, good Americans, good conservatives. Connie, hope you're feeling better. We need 1 million more like them, invincible Americans. And also, Free Frank Giglio, my childhood friend. Free Frank. Frank, if you're listening, Free Frank Giglio. Anyway, let's go right to callers. Jim in West Park. Let's go to Jim. Jim, how are you?
Good morning, Pete. I got a couple of questions for you. You ready?
I am.
Okay. Choosing the Speaker of the House, they have to be a member of the voted-in representatives?
I don't think they actually do. If I look at the Constitution, I don't have it in front of me. I usually have my Heritage Foundation pocket Constitution with me.
Okay. Well, the first sentence says, all representative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. The very next sentence, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states. So it's right there. It's cut
okay.
and dry.
Okay. You're talking about the possibility of having Trump as Speaker of the House?
There's been chatter out there, and I just don't think that these people are informed. You know, Newt Gingrich, they have to be voted in members, according to the first and second sentence here.
Jim,
I'm reading this right.
You probably are. I haven't taken a deep dive. I usually know this stuff. I usually have my pocket constitution with me. I would say that the discussion about Trump as Speaker of the House, I would go in a completely different direction. I think we are wasting time thinking about these things. Look, I am still a Trump fan, despite some of his foibles. I think he was the best president of my lifetime. I think he's got some things he needs to work out. But nonetheless, he's 50 times better than whoever is in the White House right now, because I don't think that person knows who he is. But nonetheless, these machinations with respect to having Trump or someone else as Speaker, and then, you know, people would leave the presidency or vice presidency and elevate him automatically. I'm not a big fan of those things. I think what we have to do is operate pursuant to the mechanisms provided within the Constitution and by history.
Okay, but I have a question.
Jim, I think we're going to a break right now. Can you hold? Hold
yes.
on. We're going to get
yes.
to Sally, Tony, everybody, hold on. We're going to get to Pete Kersenow on Always Right.
Welcome back to Always Right Radio on The Answer.
Pete is getting stronger, not Beat is getting stronger. Here with you on Always Right 1420, substituting for Bob France, Pete Kersenow. Phenomenal bumper music, as I've said before. You got to listen to the music of the 60s, 70s, maybe early 80s, because right now it's not music. These people have no soul whatsoever. I look at these guys on TV with all their machinations and the horrible sounds that emanate from their mouths. My goodness, no soul. You can't get jazzed up based on that kind of music. No wonder all of the arts are falling down. Pete Kirsten here for Bob France. We have people holding. It's Open Line Tuesday. We're talking about everything in the world, and we're talking to... I'm going to listen to Wanna Take You Higher for a little bit more. This is phenomenal music. I used to listen to this before football games to get psyched up. I'd be frothing at the mouth at the time we came out of the tunnel. Believe me, this is great stuff. Listen to the stuff they're playing now. You don't froth at anything right now except maybe on your latte. My goodness, this is pathetic. This is music. This gets you jazzed up. This is what right-wingers listen to. All right, we'll revisit that. It is Christmas week, and we're talking to Jim. He was talking about Speaker of the House. Jim, you still there?
Yes, I am, Peter.
Go ahead.
Okay, my second question to you was, who appoints the electors? Now, on the before I go to that, let me say that the senators can be in any part of the state that they represent. They could be neighbors. It doesn't matter. Representatives have to be in their district. But I think that the electors are the same amount of, they're the same number as the representation of each state. So it would be.
That's right. Representatives plus senators combined is the number of electors to which each state is entitled. That's correct.
So who appoints them? And when they're running for their offices, how come none of the other reporters ask that question? That's a very important question.
It is, Jim.
Who do you want to be as your elector?
It is, and it came up.
I'll hang up, Pete. Thanks.
Okay,
for
Jim,
my call.
And Merry Christmas to you. It came up during the last election, during the not the last election, but the Clinton-Trump election, as to who appoints them, because you know there was a concern about whether. Remember, talk about election interference and election denial. Remember when the entire Democratic Party and the media, but I repeat myself, were trying to get electors to change their votes? Remember that? Remember election denial? Remember election obstruction then? Nobody cared about it then. Then it was democracy. And when they were trying to change the Electoral College or even abolish it, nobody cared about that. That wasn't a problem. That wasn't a threat to democracy. We didn't have to have a January 6th commission for that. As to who specifically appoints electors, I think that is a function of the legislatures of each state. But Jim is right. It is the number, or at least I was right, the number of representatives and senators is the total number of electors to which each state is entitled. Then they vote. And remember, that was the whole issue of the January 6th commission. They then vote. It is they who vote for the president. And the objection or the hysteria fomented by Democrats, and it was hysteria fomented by Democrats because Trump never said anything about going to the Capitol and disrupting it or anything like that. He said, we're going to go peacefully and respectfully over to the Capitol. But now, of course, he's subject to criminal indictment, which was the entire objective of the January 6th commission from the very beginning. I am getting a little bit off track, and we've got people holding. I want everybody to call in. Remember, open line Tuesday, open line Tuesday, 216-901-0945. Let's go to Sally in Berea. Sally, are you there?
Hi, Peter. I think it's a good idea to have the next few weeks to focus on the holidays and Christmas. So I hope you and your family have a blessed Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
It's
same
been
to
a
you.
Rather, thanks. It's been a rather disappointing end to the year with the midterms not being candidates not being supported by McConnell and conservatives feel sold out with the monstrous ominous bill that I don't even know if they have time to read it all or they can't make changes and know all the details. It's frustrating that they always put this stuff till the end of the year and there isn't time to really think about it. So it's like, when will our leaders learn that you can't compromise with a regime that keeps trying to promote socialism and they don't care if it's unconstitutional? Because you can negotiate a compromise. It only works only when you can trust the other party to play by the rules set by the Constitution, and these rules have been broken many times in the past several years. So next year will be a constant struggle because, as Larry Elder keeps reminding us, we've got a country to save.
We do.
So we appreciate the information you give us every week, and we hope that you'll have a personally have a great new year.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for all you do.
And thank you very much for the call, Sally. And I agree with you. These omnibus bills are a travesty. They have been accumulating, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This is what the Congress has done. They don't debate individual pieces of legislation and discrete issues. Instead, they lard everything into one giant bill that nobody reads. Nobody reads. Legislators, congressmen don't write these. There are anonymous staffers, thousands of them scurry about Capitol Hill. There are 20-somethings and 30-somethings. They were not elected. They went to woke schools. They inject all kinds of stuff into these pieces of legislation to which the representatives are utterly oblivious. And you know that these are not things that we like. But aside from that, the budget bills, they just accumulate tons and tons of pork and discrete spending issues that do not at all forward the prospects of the American people, except look at our deficit right now. I'm going a little bit off tangent, and then we'll get to Tony in a moment. The deficit, not the deficit, the debt is extraordinary. We are at over $30 trillion. As Victor Davis Hanson, I hope I have time to talk about something that he wrote yesterday. He writes amazing things. By the way, he and I served on the 1776 commission appointed by President Trump that within the first 5 minutes of his administration, Biden disbanded. And we had a lot of intellectuals on that commission. There were about 25. In addition to Victor Davis Hanson, you had Mike Pompeo and Ben Carson and Larry Arnn of Hillsdale. And, you know, I was, you know that thing, that workbook used to have when you were in second and third grade, you know, it had those pictures like, which one of these objects does not belong? That was me on the 1776 commission. I'm like Zelig. I show up at places where I have no business being. But anyway, I was there and pleased to serve with Victor Davis Hanson. Victor Davis Hanson talks about a number of things that must be done to preserve the Republic. He's absolutely right. If I have a little bit more time, I'm going to talk about that. But I want to get to Tony in North Royalton. Tony, how are you? Tony, you there?
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, I'm there.
By the way, I scored two touchdowns against North Royalton in 1971, just so everybody knows.
Well, good job. I want to preface all this by saying, first of all, last July, I lost my 18-year-old grandson to fentanyl poisoning. He was poisoned. Very frustrated because of what's going on at the border. And I guess my question is, what the heck's going on down there? Why can't Abbott get the National Guard over there and protect our borders? Why is our federal government failing us? And why isn't there any one person that's really taking charge to be able to do something about this? When you look at the municipal prosecutors, they don't want to do anything. When my grandson passed away, we went to the police department, found out that the prosecutors didn't want to press any charges because they felt that whatever was in the system, the 18-year-old that passed away was in the system, there was other drugs. So how could they prove that it was fentanyl? Well, let me tell you something. When somebody's on drugs and they're not dying from it, but they take a pressed drug that has fentanyl and they die from it, that pretty much tells you it was the fentanyl that killed you, not the other drugs that killed you. So I'm just very frustrated. I just don't get what's going on at the southern borders, why we can't get the National Guard out there. And as an attorney, is there anything that could be done, class action suits by all of us Americans to be able to do something? Do we got to go back to the 60s where there were protests on the streets to get the government to start to do something? What do you think needs to be done?
All the above. Unfortunately, there are certain things that aren't going to have much effect. And Tony, condolences to you on the passing of your grandson.
Thanks.
This is, you know, tens of thousands, literally tens of thousands of people are dying. There are estimates up to 70,000 people are dying per year based on drugs, mainly fentanyl, but all manner of drugs coming across the border. We have the capacity to stop 95% of. Of course, it's a huge border. We can't secure all of it unless we have drones, a wall. Walls work. If they didn't work, why would we be building houses and fences around houses? Right. If we had all those things in a robust border patrol, which we do, we've got tremendous border patrol people. We really do. I've met some of them. They're extraordinary individuals doing work that, frankly, everybody in positions of power sneers at them about. But nonetheless, to answer a couple of your questions, first of all, the Supreme Court has indicated, you know, Arizona tried to take matters under its own in its own hands several years ago with respect to border issues. Border issues are a federal concern. That doesn't mean states can't do discrete things to protect the border. But overall, if states try to do things on their own to secure their border, this administration will go in, probably seek some type of injunctive relief, and depending upon what those states have done, they may be, meaning the federal government, may prevail in those kinds of suits. Now, that doesn't mean, and you know, I don't know what Constitution of the state of Texas says, but I'm sure it permits him to do or gives Abbott wide latitude in securing the safety and health of the people of the state of Texas. That doesn't mean he can't do more things with respect to maybe position the National Guard at some point, maybe not right on the border. But personally, I don't like to second guess people, but I'm going to do it in this case. I would be, if I were governor, doing 50 times more than what Abbott is doing right now and all the other border governors. No disrespect to them. I know they have a tough issue, a tough task ahead of them because the federal government is not protecting our sovereignty. The federal government should be doing this. But nonetheless, you don't wait around. When people are invading your country, you do not wait around. As I indicated, scores of people on the terror watch list are coming across the border. We had just in the last month, of those that were caught, over 1,000 people had records already. And I, you know, we've done a study at the Civil Rights Commission. Actually, it was my assistant and I that showed the significant percentage of these illegal immigrants who, putting aside the crime of illegal immigration, are committing crimes. You're looking at states like, I think it's in, I have to look at my stats again, but I think in California, illegal aliens are three times more likely to be incarcerated than people lawfully present in the United States. We are importing crime. We're importing terror. We're importing dysfunction and poverty. The infrastructure can't sustain this, so someone needs to do something. I would do, and I'll tell you this, if I were governor of a border state, I would do something until somebody told me I couldn't. I would do whatever I could until there was the federal government jumped in and said, and the Supreme Court issued an injunction or some circuit court issued an injunction saying I can't do it, I would do it. I'm sorry. You know, as Larry Elder says, we have a country to protect. I tell you what, we will get back to this, Tony, shortly. We've got to go to a break here, but I want to discuss border issues and all kinds of other stuff. Tony, Merry Christmas to you. We're going to be coming back. We're going to be talking to BJ, we're going to talk to John. We're going to talk to a lot of people. Call Open Line Tuesday with Chris now, 216-901-0945. This is Pete Kirsnow. You know that from the bumper music, substituting for Bob France. I'm going to be arrested soon, I know, so I want to get as much as I can in. We have people holding. It is Open Line Tuesday with Kirsnow, 216-901-0945, 216-901-0945. By the way, I want to correct the record. I misspoke last segment saying I scored two touchdowns against North Royalton in 1971. False, I did not do so. I was out with a broken arm. That Brecksville intentionally broke my arm because they knew I would score 15 touchdowns against them. It was, I believe, Brooklyn the next game that I scored two touchdowns. Anyway, it was spectacular. Here we are, Christmas week. the best time in all of kiddom, as Ralphie would say in your Christmas story. I want to go first now to John. John, we only have 3 minutes. We're going to talk about workout programs. We were talking about this last time that I substituted. Go.
Okay. I'm going to change subjects, Johnny. I'm going to shift gears. We're going to talk about
misrepresentation. Bait and switch.
I'm a Frank Sinatra guy.
He's good. He's okay. Yeah. I can tolerate him.
Oh, okay. All right, now back to the subject at hand. The coach at Chardon Football High School and I became friends when we served on the city council. And he set me up. He wrote me out a program of exercise. And everything is a warm-up to the next thing to come. So it's increasing reps, increasing sets, and so on. And so you finally wear yourself out at the end of the workout. And it's a good workout program. So I don't know. How does that compare to what you do?
Well, what I do is a little crazy. I try to work out almost every day. It's at least 6 out of 7 days. I do both running and weights. I lift extremely heavy weights. Of course, you got to properly warm up. And in the summertime, or at least when the weather is at least temperate, I try to run a hill outside, which is the best workout you can possibly work out. There's a giant hill nearby where I live, and I try to do sprints up that. I don't recommend this for anyone other than individuals who may be in their 20s or younger.
Yeah.
It is tough to do. But I will do lower body one day, upper body next day. Lower body consists of knee extensions, leg curls, squats, deadlifts. Upper body consists of everything from workouts dealing with my arms, shoulders, traps, rows, lats, benches. My benches are way down now because I'm an old man, but I can still do over 300 pounds for reps. And if you do it on a regular basis, the older you are, the better you get. We'll be back on the other side. See, Luke from Brecksville's probably challenging me. Brecksville stunk when I was playing them. Nonetheless, we will be back at the end of this break. It's going to be fun.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Welcome to Always Right Radio with Bob Franz on AM 1420, The Answer.
Good morning, Cleveland, home of the smartest, strongest, fastest, toughest, and best-looking people in America. This is Always Right, and as you can tell, this is not Bob France. This is Pete Kersenow, who's substituting for Bob this 20th day of December, Christmas week, the greatest week in the year, the greatest time in kiddom. No doubt about it, and even for us adults it is. We've been talking about all kinds of things because it's Open Line Tuesday, lines wide open. We can talk about anything whatsoever you want to talk about. I'm going to exercise the host's prerogative, though, and just make one note that occurred to me when we were talking in the last segment. The FBI, who many of us have admired for a long time. Remember Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. and the FBI? Dun, 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 dun. You know, the integrity of the FBI was beyond reproach in this country. And now many of us are wondering what is going on. I've gotten to know several FBI agents. You know, when you go through background checks for various presidential appointed positions, the FBI does these background checks, and I got to know some of them. And in other in my practice, I've gotten to know a couple of them, but they were rank-and-file FBI agents. I think all of us had admired FBI agents. All of us, for the most part, had, for a long time, admired the upper levels of our military. Now we got Milley and Austin. But in any event, what the heck is going on with the FBI? It begs the question, why are we paying taxes? We see dysfunction all over the place. We see our military declining. We are seeing that our crime is rampant in the streets. The border is in disarray. The things that we pay our government to do, they're completely neglecting or doing a poor job on. But they're very good at redistributing our money. But what is the FBI doing? I mean, my goodness. Half of the FBI seems to have been employed by Twitter or at least if they weren't employed, they were providing Twitter with all kinds of recommendations, quote unquote, that seemed to be, and okay, I'm going to be nice, but all evidence points to the fact that they were putting not just a thumb on the scale, they were putting a big fat butt on the scale in favor of Democrats and Biden in the last election. And prior to that, during the Russia collusion hoax, they were intimately involved in that instead of stopping crime. China is eating our lunch with respect to the theft of intellectual property and many of our military secrets. And my goodness, you see almost every time you have a mass shooter out there, what do we hear? Well, he was on the FBI's radar screen. Oh, really? Well, that's nice. I'm glad they're watching on their radar. In the meantime, all manner of mayhem is breaking loose. Again, rank and file people, maybe all right. I don't know. I'm starting to wonder about some of them. I know a few people have said it. We've had enough. They're out of there. And I know a lot of good FBI agents are mortified by what's going on at the upper levels. But, you know, we've got 80 FBI agents who are employed, 80 with Twitter. What the heck are they doing? They're suppressing the Biden laptop story, the New York Post Twitter account, which reported it during the election of 2020. It was locked down. And what we know now is that definitively affected the outcome of the election. Trump would be president, but for the suppression of the Biden laptop stories. We have polling data on this. 16% of Biden voters say, had I known about that, because none of them knew a thing about it, because you've got a corrupt media, ABC, NBC, CNN, and the whole alphabet agency out there, all suppressed it ruthlessly and continued to do that. I talked to very smart people who are completely oblivious to what's going on at the border, for example, because the media suppresses anything that could look bad for the left and Democrats. But 16% would have changed their vote, which means that that would have changed the outcome of the election. Think about this. 20 years ago, two liberal professors out of Berkeley did a study that showed, and I'll just cut to the chase, that whoever the media supports in a given race gets a 5-point advantage because of such media support. On average, 5 points. Think about that. How many elections are decided by fewer than 5 points? 90% of them or more. And that's merely when you were talking about 20 years ago when the media would kind of, you know, be somewhat biased toward Democrats and progressives. Now it's outright fraud and corruption. They do not report on game-changing stories. And we wonder how Democrats, these policies, nobody supports these policies that, you know, where prosecutors simply will not prosecute, where we don't enforce the border, where we do dumb things in Afghanistan and elsewhere. Nobody supports this stuff. Nobody supports managed decline. Nobody supports the woke agenda in our schools. The kind of confusion that's rampant among our kids who can't count, but they can tell how many pronouns there are. All of this needs to be changed, and we've got a lot of people on this open line Friday. Again, Pete Kirstenow here substituting for Bob France. It's not Friday, is it yet? But it feels like Friday because it's Christmas week. It's open line Tuesday. Tell you what, we're going to go in order, and let's go to BJ. BJ, how are you?
Yes, Pete. At 92, I have seen a lot of things change in our world, and this year, 2022, has been the beginning of the awakening that's coming. Fellow Americans that work for the FBI, the IRS, CIA, all these institutions are being armed to turn against the public. They are part of America. They are Americans. They are fellow Americans. Are these fellow Americans that are working for these agencies truly going to go into people's homes and threaten them with guns if they don't comply with whatever this government really is to behave in the manner that they want to be controlled? I don't think that's going to take place. My optimism is going to grow in the favor of those that work for the government are going to wake up and say, we are not going to participate in these evil acts of going into our neighbors' homes and threatening them if they don't give us money to give to this government to squander. We don't know who runs this government any longer. There is no Democrat or Republican Party that runs this government. It is something much bigger, and and a lot more evil than that, probably in the banking system. But that aside for a moment, the awakening that's going to take place in 2023 is going to be enormous. It's happening globally. It's happening in China now with the women saying you are not going to beat us and condemn us if we don't go along with what you want us to do in government. It's happening in Europe right now. It's going to happen in this country. A lot of Americans are very well armed. They are not armed for an enemy coming in from outside this country. They're armed from what is growing inside. So even though there's a lot of pessimism in my statement, there's also a lot of optimism that the American people in this country are going to awaken that this is not a government that is for the people, of the people, and by the people. So I'm hopeful for all of us that this coming Christmas will be a day of awareness and that we worship the creator of all life and the gift of life that we all have. And it's up to us to protect that. The truth will set you free if you act on it. If you do not act on it, it will not set you free. Thank you for listening, and God bless you and your listeners. God bless America. I love this country dearly, and I love the gift of life I was given to have on this planet. Thank you for your time.
BJ, thanks for that very eloquent, inspiring statement. That was beautiful, and we needed something like that on Christmas week. At the age of 92, if BJ at the age of 92 has that kind of optimism, then I should be more optimistic than I currently am. And I apologize for being such a downer in terms of attacking so many of these institutions. They deserve to be attacked. It gives me inspiration to attack them. I want to hit back. Hit back twice as hard is what I say. Our coaches used to tell us that too. Hit back twice as hard. This is the United States of America. We are fighting for it. Many in this audience have fought for it literally. Others have fought in terms of campaigns, in terms of financing initiatives, all manner of things that we can do to preserve and protect this country. It is the greatest nation in the history of the world. It continues to be, despite all of the things that the Biden administration has done and other leftists have done, continues to be the greatest. We have so many great Americans, and on Christmas week, I celebrate that. I'll tell you what, this is Open Line Tuesday. We've got people holding, which I really appreciate. This is great. We're going to have fun. Let's go to Luke in Brecksville next. Luke.
Hello, Pete. This is Luke. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great to talk to you again. I wanted to bring up some good news in Ohio about the scholarship granting organizations that have formed in the state, and we have one at the Lyceum, which is called the Lyceum Scholarship Fund. Basically, it means people can direct their state tax dollars to these organizations, which can go then to scholarships for students to attend private schools rather than the public school system. As you know about the Lyceum, we're providing a great education in the great books. Our students read the Declaration, the Constitution. They study the Federalist Papers. They go all the way back to the Greeks and the Romans. They're reading the Bible. And people now can support this, not with a tax deduction, but with a tax credit. This is something new in the state of Ohio. I'm not sure if you're aware of it. But basically, if someone's paid $750 state taxes, they've had it taken out of their income, withdrawn monthly, they can now direct that $750 to a scholarship fund like the Lyceum Scholarship Fund, and then they'll get their $750 back from the state of Ohio that they paid. So it's a great way to fund private schools that are doing all the right things and not be giving money to the government to do all the wrong things that you've been speaking about this morning.
Luke, thanks so much. I didn't know when I was looking at the call screening board that it was Luke from the Lyceum. All of you have heard me say before, and I haven't said it frequently enough. I didn't say it, I think, the last time I was on. Lyceum, by far, greatest educational institution K-12 I've ever seen. They instruct better than most Ivy school. This is not an exaggeration. Many of you know I sometimes engage in a slight amount of hyperbole. Not in this case. The Lyceum is a phenomenal institution, classical education. I had the privilege, Luke allowed me to speak there a couple of times, and I got to engage with the students there. This is, as many of you know, before the left completely shut down debates at the collegiate and law school level. They don't want to debate us anymore because they know they cannot prevail, and they don't want students to hear reasonable discourse because they know right away the things that they're saying, mean the left, would be dismissed by students if they heard the other side. But nonetheless, I've been to University of Michigan, University of Chicago. I used to have a running gig there where I'd be doing debates. The top schools in the country I have debated at, and I've listened to students there, and all very fine, very bright students, none better than the Lyceum kids that were in fourth and fifth grade. Really astonishing. This is what education is all about. If we had 100 Lyceums all over the country, I know that the United States and the founding would be preserved forever, and we'd always be the greatest country in the history of the world. Luke, thanks very much, and Merry Christmas to you in the Lyceum.
Merry Christmas, Pete. Great to talk to you. God bless.
Hold on, everybody. We've got Jan, we've got Joe, and one of my favorites, Sister Mary Grace, is holding also. We will get to all of you at the opposite side of this break. Pete Kersenow on Always Right. The great James Brown is living in America, as we all are blessed to do. This is Pete Kersenow substituting for the great Bob France on Always Right. It's Open Line Tuesday this Christmas week 2022. We're going to go in order. Open Line Friday. Let's go to Jan. Jan in Cleveland. How are you?
Hello. You know, I'm thinking about the word vicious. And I hear there was a vicious attack 2 years ago that, well, it was a riot that got out of hand, and that lasted 3 hours. Now, one of the terms for vicious is spiteful behavior. Now, what about the 6 years of vicious attacks, untruths, all the stuff that has come out since the left and the Democrats went crazy once Trump walked down the steps and announced his run for president?
No doubt now, about it. Yeah, go. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jan.
And now, to me, the queen of vicious is in the house. And to have these people from the January 6th sitting in confinement and being treated like they treat people in North Korea, she is the queen of vicious, and I think you know who I mean.
Yeah, I have a slight idea who that is.
Merry Christmas. Enjoy your ice cream.
Yes, and she has a $5,000 refrigerator in which she stores that ice cream. She looks down on us little peons.
Well,
I don't want to be uncharitable on Christmas week, but you know what? There are people in this country who visited untold harms upon the structure and the integrity of this country, the freedoms that many brave men and women fought to preserve and establish. I don't want to be a downer about all these things, but yeah, the terms that are set in this debate are set, unfortunately, by, to a large extent, progressives in the media, Democrats in the media, but I repeat myself, but you cannot, for long at least, obfuscate the truth. No matter how you try to manipulate words, we saw that, you know, Hitler tried to do it, Goebbels tried to do it, Himmler tried to do it. We saw that Stalin tried to do it, Beria tried to do it. No matter how much you try to do it, the truth always finds a way of finding its level and emerging, and people know what the truth is. But it is true. As Orwell has said, I mean, almost everybody has said this who's written dystopian novels, that when you manipulate words, you manipulate thought. When you manipulate thought, you manipulate words. It's a vicious cycle, but they do it because reality augurs against the progressive agenda. Thanks very much. Let's go to Jan. Thanks very much for that commentary. Appreciate it. And let me see who's been holding long. So let's go to Joe. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Peter. I had a question regarding the abortion. Since you're an attorney, maybe you could give me clarity on this. But let's say someone is a grandfather, and so the baby getting aborted would be their grandkid. Why can't they hire a defense attorney to a stay of execution to stop the practitioner, the abortion person, from killing the baby.
Yeah, that I like the way you think. That's kind of how plaintiff's attorneys think. They're trying to think of every conceivable cause of action. That's a long discussion. I don't think that they would have standing to do so. They're not a party in interest to do so. There are all kinds of rules with respect to that. But doesn't mean you don't necessarily try. Now, what attorney would bring that? These days, you know, there, you can bring sanctions against people for bringing frivolous actions. Most decent attorneys look at the status of the law and decide not to do things like, you know, pushing the law too much. The left does it all the time. But, you know, no one brings sanctions against them. Guess why? Just I don't know why. But nonetheless,
Bringing it in would at least create a conversation about it so they see that there's a relation there.
Well, there is a relation. There's no legal standing necessarily to do something like that, and that's the issue. I know of no laws, no statutes, or anything of that nature that would provide standing. But I like the way you think. We have to think outside the box. We are getting hit from every side on all of the cultural issues, and we've got to start turning it around and go on the offensive. We are going to break, but when we come back from break, we're going to go to Sister Mary Grace, and oh, another one of our favorites is holding also. Open Line Friday, Pete Kersenow. That's not Friday, but it feels like that. Open Line Tuesday, Kersenow for France on Always Right.
Close your eyes, girl. Look inside, girl. Let the sound take you away.
Always Right Radio on The Answer.
Pete Kersenow substituting for Bob France on Always Right, In a God of the Vida by Iron Butterfly. Again, the best music. This is the kind of music that would psych me up before football games. Very necessary. I'd want to run through the door onto the football field. Very often I did just that, and then when I got on the football field, I was too exhausted to play. Nonetheless, great music. Here we are, Christmas week. All of us have some type of tradition in the advent of Christmas. My family, for example, we turn on Christmas Eve, A Christmas Story with Ralphie at 8 o'clock TBS and leave it running for 24 hours of A Christmas Story. Every TV in the house has it on 24-7. Then at midnight, go to Midnight Mass, listen to the most beautiful music imaginable. Phenomenal time, great time of the year. Remember the reason for the season. Folks, this is Open Line Tuesday, 216-901-0945. We've talked to a number of great Clevelanders: Jim, Sally, Tony, John, BJ, Luke, Lisa, Jan, Joe, and now we're going to talk to one of my perennial favorites, Sister Mary Grace. Sister Mary Grace, how are you today?
I am so blessed to talk to you, Peter Kersenow. God loves you very much. Where do you go to church?
Well, used to go, my favorite was St. Margaret Mary, now Sacred Heart of Jesus, but I will go downtown also because sometimes, I will admit, sometimes I miss Mass on Sundays. Try to go on Mondays or any day of the week to St. John's downtown because it's just a short walk at noon, go over there. But I'll go anyway. You know, Cleveland, as you know, is very fortunate for having so many great parishes and great pastors.
I did the study many years ago.
Yeah, so many.
More churches than Spain, anywhere.
Amazing. I didn't know that, but all you have to do is, for example, if you go to just down in the Tremont area, or if you go to the west side, you've got a lot of Ukrainian and Russian Orthodox churches in addition to Catholic churches and every other denomination. But we are really fortunate here in Cleveland to have a vibrant spiritual community. A lot of that has to do with the religious that we have here who are phenomenal. So thank you, and I'm sorry, Sister Mary Grace, what was your comment?
Sacred Heart of Jesus is more important than you can imagine.
Yes, of course it is.
You understand? It actually, if you carry the scapula on you,
it
gives you, no matter what, even if you're beheaded, it will give you a chance to ask for forgiveness and that you would go to heaven. My father carried one in his pocket all the time.
As you speak, I am pulling out, and Jonathan
God
can
is
see
good.
This, from around my neck, the brown scapular.
That's right.
Sister you Mary see? Grace, you have a great Christmas week. Thank you so much for calling.
No.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
not done.
You're not done. I'm not going
to
stop you.
My
Go
mind
ahead.
Belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is our God, and He is a living God, creator of all the universes. And I'm telling you, there are people that are suing the government, and it's cedarhills.org, the Brunson's family. And I'm telling you, we need to write to our justices, and we need to, you understand, tell them. So anybody that can write, and I'm asking you in Jesus' name, please write, because I know you're a writer. I'm a writer. I'm a Luddite, so I read. I don't watch TV. And the point is, I try not to put anything that is evil before my eyes. It's all about Jesus.
I think that's a good piece
Ask
of advice.
Ask me anything you want, because I could talk about education, anything. And the thing is, we used to be fifth in the United States in Ohio. Fifth in all the world, because we taught our children good morals, good values. But then, you understand, through the ages, and even when Abomination was in for those 8 years, he went into the books and he changed things.
Yeah. And
changed them.
That is absolutely true. And unfortunately, what we have now is we have conflated, or actually not so much conflated, we've completely reversed things. Instead of in the Constitution, we have freedom of religion. So many on the left in various institutions, governmental institutions and otherwise, have maligned that and turned it into freedom from religion. The founding
right.
fathers understood that the fragile nation of this republic and its constitution was predicated on a good and moral people. They understood that, and unless you had that as a foundation, the fabulous Constitution, one of the greatest documents ever created, frankly, it's the greatest political document in the history of the world. Without that, it all is dependent upon the goodness of the individuals within the government and the polity generally to make sure we continue to preserve the greatest republic in the history of the world. Unfortunately, so many are doing their best to abandon the principles of this country, the founding, which the founders proclaimed. Read the Federalist Papers, read many of the founding documents. They're the ones who have talked about the primacy of religion, and it was a biblical-based religion. It was pursuant to the Abrahamic traditions, but we are banning that. We're purging it from the public square to our detriment.
But we're bringing it back. We have to. We must for our children.
Yep.
We must. And you understand? We talk to them. And believe it or not, all this is in God's Word. We used to sit around the table, and we're a big family, 9 children. And the point is, when we sat around the table, we read the Bible. And that's how we taught everybody to read. I'm a teacher, because everything I learned, I taught. And that is the point. If we do not do that, then you understand, my daughter went to school. She knew how to read before she went to school.
Yep. And one of the
she
big
read it for.
One of the other major problems we have, which is leading to much of this dysfunction, is the fact that we have 40+% now, 40+% of all children in the United States born out of wedlock only have one parent in the household. Almost every malady that we discuss on this show, everything that I said at the outset, all the things that are going wrong, 95% of those would be remedied, would utterly disappear if we had just a two-parent family. We've got copious statistical evidence
on
this.
I totally agree.
But we know this intuitively. We don't need stats. There was a time when people understood this without having to go through some kind of analysis. But we've abandoned that. We've abandoned the traditions. We're told that those traditions are wrong and evil and racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, any kind of phobic you can think of. By the way, is anybody phobic of these things? I don't know of anybody who's afraid of these things, but they use the term phobic all the time. But nonetheless, we've got to reclaim the founding of the United States. It is a great country. It is a spiritual country. It is a country that understands the primacy of the Lord in its works with respect to the Constitution and all the things that have gone right in this country. That doesn't mean that we don't tolerate or we don't protect the interests of those who may not be of the same mindset. But by
may I interject?
You may, Sister Mary Grace. I'm not going to say
anything. I just want to say Psalm 91. I was so excited yesterday when I heard that Elon Musk banned pornography to the children and all these things. And I was like, I danced for almost an hour around my house. I was like, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I was praising God. And I was like, and in Psalm 91, which I believe God wrote himself. But the point is, I was just praising him. And he guarantees us protection, 1,000 on one side and 10,000 on the other, and nothing's going to happen to us in Jesus' name. But we must get out there and do God's work. Yes. I just get so excited.
Thank you very much for your call, and have a
God
blessed
bless you
Christmas.
With a blessed Christmas.
Thank
a
you.
Most blessed and holy Christmas, and I do pray the blood of Jesus over all of you.
Thank you very much, Sister Mary Grace. Before I go to Lisa, who's been holding, I just want to make a quick comment about the FBI. And Sister Mary Grace kind of alluded to this. Think about this. She mentioned the porn. There, in fact, on Twitter, it was rife with child porn, which is one of the things that the FBI traditionally has been all over. I know on occasion as an employment lawyer, employee may get discharged and the company may look at some of his documents and, you know, his computer, and then there may be child porn on there. And the minute that is seen, you sequester that, you make sure you hold on to it, and the FBI shows up in 10th of a second. Boy, they're all over that stuff, you know? But Twitter was rife with it, and yet we had the FBI all over Twitter. They were employed by Twitter. They were liaising with Twitter. What is going on? Folks, really, I've got, or used to have, tons of respect for the FBI, but at the top levels, and I'm wondering, you know, you have to ask yourself, what the heck is going on? They're spying on citizens, they're manipulating elections, but the stuff they're supposed to be doing, how many times have we heard when there's a mass shooter? How many times have we heard, well, he was on the FBI's radar screen? Not satisfactory. I don't care if he's on their screen. How did he get into that school? How did he get into that church? How did he get into that supermarket to conduct his evil? My goodness, this is nuts. Why are we paying taxes when we have an unsecured border? These are the things that we expect from our government. The border is a mess, yet we're paying billions in taxes. The streets are filthy. We have people sleeping on sidewalks in the United States of America. Why are we paying taxes? Why are we doing it? China is running rampant throughout not just the world, but in our country, pilfering intellectual property. What are we paying taxes for? Rhetorical question, obviously. But at some point, remember years ago, there was a movement, and I thought it was kind of on the fringes, a tax protest movement. People were saying, don't pay taxes. But at some point, you have to legitimately ask yourself, we are being scammed big time. None of the organs of government seem to be performing the duties that they were charged with, or at least doing it competently. And at many times, they're acting at cross purposes with their charter. So that's the rant for the day. Let's go to Lisa in Medina. Lisa, how are you?
Hey, good morning and Merry Christmas to you, Peter, and all the WHK listeners.
Thank you very much. This is Lisa Woods. Everybody knows Lisa. And I have the good fortune of, from time to time, speaking at MFAN, Medina County Friends and Neighbors. Lisa started that up a number of years ago. Very important organization, very influential organization. All the good people are there. And as you know, the best-looking people in Northeast Ohio go to the MFAN meetings. So, and Lisa, as you may know, also served on the State Board of Education. Lisa, do you have something to say about education?
I do. I do. And I'm praying that 2023 is our year to take back our education, our schools on the local level and on the state level. So much going on in education. And I appreciate how many people have really jumped on board and are looking in the way of what's going on locally and statewide, where we can truly make affect what's happening. You know, we had that 178, and I'm kind of glad it did not pass. But there were people I knew that were really for it. I think that something has to be done, but I think that was the pendulum was swinging too far on that one. And I hope that everyone will have a good relationship with their representatives and talk about education and make sure that good reforms are still coming our way and that they are active on that, whether it's local at your school district or your state rep or your senator. It's going to take all of these to make it happen.
Very well. That very well said. And Lisa, thanks very much. Merry Christmas to you. And I want to just say a couple things about this subject. And one is, as you've heard me say before, whenever you hear an acronym like CSE or CRT or DEI, run for the hills, okay, because you know they're coming after you. CSE, Comprehensive Sex Education, then there's Social Emotional Learning, there's Critical Race Theory, CRT, DEI, I spoke about earlier, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. All these things are, you know, very nice sounding, but have so many occasions and in large part pernicious effects on the principal obligation of our schools. They corrupt in many cases our educational process. They dumb down standards, lower standards, and then they inject, let's face it, just the type of cultural and moral issues into the educational system that 95% of parents oppose and are damaging and poisoning to our kids. So, Lisa, thanks very much for being at the board, being at the forefront of the fight. We're going to come back after this break to TJ P. Kersenow for Bob France, Always Right, Open Line Tuesday. It is a family affair on Always Right. Pete Kersenow substituting for Bob France. We've had phenomenal bumper music today. The great music of my youth that motivated me. Now, it is true, I have to admit, I like to listen to a lot of classical music also. But before football games, you have to have Sly and the Family Stone, Steppenwolf, James Brown. And if you have that playing for you, you're going to trounce the other side. No ifs, ands, or buts if they are these heathens that don't listen to music like that. Let's go to TJ. TJ, how are you today?
You know, Peter, you're right. You have the best bumper music on radio.
Thanks to Johnny here at Salem. He's the guy who selects it and finds it and plays it.
Oh, yeah. I never thought I'd hear Iron Butterfly on the radio, but we did today. You know, just real quick before I make my point. I know you're a big Jimi Hendrix fan, like myself. I don't know if you ever heard of a group called the Classic Rock Show out of England. They do other people's stuff, and sometimes they do it even better. Look up on YouTube, Classic Rock Show, and see their version of All Along the Watchtower. I think Jimi Hendrix would be smiling up there.
That's great. I'm writing it down. I'm writing it down right now. I am going to listen to it and find it on YouTube. And by the way, All Along the Watchtower is set forth in my book, Target Omega. By the way, I don't select the titles because I'm not important enough. The publisher always selects titles based on marketability. I don't really like that title, Target Omega, but the book's phenomenal. And All Along the Watchtower is referenced in that book along with several lines in there. So I'm a kindred spirit when it comes to Jimi Hendrix. And, I mean, there's so much good music from Hendrix. And unfortunately, you know, he was kind of like the avatar of our current state of affairs. He died in his own vomit because he took drugs, of course, passed out, threw up, boom, that's it.
Yeah, well, you'll love Classic Rock Show. And like I said, they don't do their own stuff. They do everybody else's stuff, but boy, do they do a heck of a job. And that guitar player, when he does the long version of Along the Watchtower, it'll blow you away, Peter. You got to listen to them. They're great. And one other one that really does it good is a guy called Jake Moritz, M-O-R-I-T-Z. You know, his version of Along the Watchtower is really another good one.
Okay, but, I've written those down. I've written both of those down, and I definitely will check it out, no doubt about it.
But the reason I called, when you were talking about the FBI being feckless and doing anything about these shootings, Peter, I believe they're not doing anything because they don't want to do anything. This Biden administration, I think, loves to see these shootings. Every time there's a school shooting or a supermarket or church shooting, it helps them make the case to get rid of the Second Amendment. So they don't want to stop it. They encourage it. You know what that old saying was, that Rahm Emanuel, don't let a good catastrophe go to waste?
Right.
But I think that's why. But the big reason I called real quick, I was reading about a group called the AFL, and I guess it's like a counter group to the ACLU, a conservative legal group that have won some pretty good court battles. Do you know anything about them?
I do not. And I'll tell you what, if you'd like to, we can finish this conversation, but it'd have to be on the other side of the break. We got Jimi Hendrix here. Are you experienced? I think I'm hearing in the background there on Always Right. TJ, if you can, hold on. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Pete Kersnow, Always Right, substituting for Bob France. And let's listen to Jimmy going into Christmas week.
Well, I know, you probably scream and cry that your little world won't let you go. But who in your measly little world are you trying to prove that you're made out of gold and can't be sold? So, are you experienced? Have you ever been experienced? Well, I have.
This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by The Floor King and Keeping Medicare Simple.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
This is Always Right Radio with Bob France. On AM 1420, The Answer.
Pete Kersnow substituting for the great Bob France on Always Right in Cleveland, Ohio, the best location in the nation, home, as you know, of the smartest, fastest, strongest, toughest, and best-looking people in America. We've been talking about all manner of issues. It is Open Line Tuesday, and right now, please call in at 216-901-0945. We have open lines. In fact, we only have one line occupied, and that's by the great TJ. TJ, you still there?
I'm still here.
All right, yeah. Absolutely. You were talking about the AFL, to which I'm completely oblivious. I have no idea what it is, or maybe I don't.
I was reading it in the paper today, and I think it's the AFL. I don't know what it stands for. But it's a group that sprung up, a conservative legal group, and they said it kind of countered the ACLU. And they've won some pretty big cases already, I guess, with the farmers when Biden was going to give money to the minority farmers, but like nobody else. And I guess they blocked it in court. So it sounds like they've, of course, you know, in the plain dealer, they're looking at it as the biggest threat they ever heard.
Of course. Right. Yeah. The left has 50 of these types of organizations doing lawfare on a regular basis, pushing the boundaries. And unfortunately, I will tell you right now, as a member of the bar, you know, I don't want to speak ill of my profession, of course. But the fact of the matter is the left completely dominates law schools most major law firms. If you go to the bar, I mean, it is 90% to the left. And so they're engaged in pushing the envelope using litigation to champion leftist causes. And we are way, way, way behind the curve. Because as usual, conservatives want to be left to our own devices. You know, we want to live our lives. We're not preoccupied with the government. But nonetheless, that's where we are today. We cannot allow, we cannot cede the landscape to the left anymore. We've got to become active in the engagement. And one of the groups that, of course, I talk about all the time, we've had a number of guests from them, and this audience is well familiar with the Alliance Defending Freedom, that does tremendous work preserving our constitutional liberties, especially religious freedom. And that's something that is always incessantly under attack from the left. TJ, how are you going to be celebrating Christmas?
Just quiet, just my wife, myself, and our German Shepherd. You know, just kind of a quiet thought.
That is a great thing. First of all, as some of you know, I used to breed German Shepherds, scores and scores and scores of my favorite breed of dog. Sometimes I would combine them with Huskies and produce these gorgeous dogs. My German Shepherds right now, I've got two of them. They're huge beasts, gigantic.
You have the King Shepherds, right?
I do. You're exactly right. They're huge. I have female German Shepherds that weigh 120 pounds. So if any of you know about German Shepherds, usually the males top out at about 75 to 80 pounds.
Right.
Nonetheless, despite the fact that German Shepherds are supposed to be hyper smart, my two dogs are dumb as rocks. These are the dumbest German Shepherds in the face of the earth. Good thing they look the part. Everyone's afraid of them. They're phenomenal guard dogs because nobody even wants to get close to them. But they are the sweetest. Well, they're not necessarily that sweet. They will do their job, but they are dumb. Boy, are they dumb.
Peter, that's a blessing. You know, our last shepherd was an Eastern European, Olga.
Yes.
And she was 102 pounds, and that's really big for a female, and she wasn't fat. We had to put her down only 7 years old. She had that spinal myopathy.
Yeah, right.
So we went to a breeder to get the most healthy shepherds we could find, and we found a breeder in Columbus, Golden Haas, that bred pure Czech shepherds. And they breed them to get rid of the hip dysplasia and that kind of stuff. The only problem with these Czech Shepherds, they're very, very, very smart, which makes them very difficult to train.
Yeah, now, you've got to get on top of them right away, in the beginning. Otherwise, they go off on a frolic of their own. You're exactly right about that. And those Shepherds, the Russians bred their own version of the German Shepherd to be more obedient, and they're pretty good. And sometimes they are the white German Shepherds. I used to have those. But you're right about that. German Shepherds require a firm hand. I don't mean by firm hand, of course. All of you out there in animal land know that does not mean any kind of abuse. It means you've got to be strict with them. Otherwise, they are very smart, and they start to think that they're smarter than you are, and they start to do things on their own. But if you can handle them, they're the greatest dogs in the world.
Boy, that's the truth. And like I said, he's a load. He's only 19 months old, and they said the only downside of the Czech Shepherd is they take the longest to mature, 2.5 to 3 years. So, but he's really a load. But he's a good dog. He's smart. But like I said, Olga, when Olga was his age, I could walk her anywhere off the leash. She wasn't the brightest bulb in the pack, but my God, was she easy to train.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Trooper, trying to get his attention, he notices everything. It's really tough. I mean, he's wearing me out here, but hopefully, like I said, we'll stick with him and maybe he'll mature a little bit more, and because this is like excitement level.
Yeah, they're worth the patience. They really are. German Shepherds, I've had them all my life. They're phenomenal dogs. I've had other dogs too. I just love the German Shepherds. And sometimes I used to have, as I said, Shepherd Husky mixes. They were very, very active, very aggressive, impervious to cold. It would sometimes get to be 0 degrees, and they would not want to come inside. They'd like to burrow into the snow. Phenomenal dogs. Dogs and almost every pet gives us peace and love and warmth, and that's what we need right now in the United States of America and at the advent to Christmas. TJ, thanks very much. You have a blessed Christmas.
And you too.
Let's go to Ralph in Canton. Ralph, how are you?
Good. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing well.
Quick question. If you had to give odds in Vegas, what do you think Kerry Lake odds are, and who is the judge in that thing?
Yeah, I haven't looked closely enough at it. I'm always skeptical that anything related to elections is going to be resolved through litigation. But from what I have seen, again, I'm not immersed in the case. I don't know what the causes of action are. I've not read the complaint. But looking at the substance, there's some issues there. There are a lot of ballot integrity issues, a lot of questions to be raised. And I don't know if it comports with Arizona state law. But the left and the media, but I repeat myself, love to paint folks like Trump and Lake and McMasters and others, or Masters, people who are, as they like to call them, MAGA Republicans, as being cranks, as being way out there. And let's face it, I mean, I love Donald Trump, but he has, you know, a tendency to say certain things that permit the left to paint him a lot more easily than other politicians who are, you know, maybe a little bit more circumspect in what they say. But it's one of the reasons why we love Trump, because he is who he is. Nonetheless, Carrie Lake also, you know, she's a Trump acolyte. She tends to say and do things probably in a little bit more sophisticated fashion that allows the media to caricature her. I think most people see through that, but nonetheless, that peels off a significant number of votes. And I think, I'm not trying to say that people should act more like a Mitch McConnell. I mean, my goodness, that's, my personal view is, maybe a very nice guy, but that's the surrender caucus of the GOP. We are in the fight of our lives for the soul and the constitution of this country, and simply doing the same old thing over and over again, taking a half flow for doing Democrat light, is not going to get the job done. We are at a critical stage in the history of this country. The left is running rampant. They are destroying the vestiges of what the Constitutional Republic have been all about. I don't mean to be alarmist about this, by the way. The United States of America is still very strong, but not as strong as it could be, not as strong as it should be, not as strong as it was just a few years ago. There is an active effort here to undermine the foundations of this republic. That is not histrionic. That's not, you know, tinfoil hat stuff. You can look around and you're saying to yourself, how do we have 2 million people come across the border in less than a year, nobody vetted, with the United States government doing absolutely nothing except trying to go after the Border Patrol for being racist and whipping people, which was completely false, but doing nothing to stop it. We have no border. No border enforcement whatsoever. Anyway, I got a little bit off track there.
Well, and people are, living paycheck to paycheck now more and more. They're not paying attention and they're not getting information. They're not reporting this stuff. So they really, you know, they are finally coming out and getting some on Twitter through friends, and that it's starting to come out. Twitter's big. I think that eventually with Trump, it has to be Trump at 24, because he's already been vetted. They can't touch him.
Well, they can't touch him because they've thrown so much at him and he survived. It's comical. It really is. And at this point, people who support Trump, they're not going to be dissuaded. The thing is, there are a certain group in the middle, and many of them consist of the McConnell type of Republicans who think that Trump cannot win. And frankly, they don't support the kind of policies, many of the policies that Trump and many of us support. That is true conservative policies. They seem to be, look, I spent a little bit of time, very little, in the swamp down in Washington, D.C. I mean, I'm a member of the Civil Rights Commission, but that's not being part of the swamp. I go down there for meetings and stuff like that, but I'm not immersed in it. But I have seen how the swamp works. It is the party of government, regardless of it is Republican or Democrat. And I don't mean to be painting a broad brush when it comes to Republican. We have fine people like Tom Cotton, Jim Jordan, so on and so forth. But my goodness, 90% of them become converts to the church of government once they get into Washington, D.C. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And more importantly, we have a giant administrative state. A lot of people talk about the deep state. It is huge. It is a monolith. It is 95-96% Democrat. And I may be understating it. I remember when I met with Trump for the first time, interviewing for Secretary of Labor, I said only one thing, and it was right after the election, the week after the election, and I said, I pointed out the various percentages of government workers that voted for Hillary Clinton. The lowest percentage, if you can imagine this, was in the Department of Defense at 87%. That's defense. Most of them were at like 97, 98%. 97 to 98% of the employees of the administrative state in Washington voted for Hillary Clinton. And I told Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, I said, these are not your friends. Watch out for them. Boy, I didn't realize how prescient I would be. But in any event, Ralph, you have a great Christmas. We'll talk to you after. I hope I'm going to be substituting again sometime in the near future. We'll talk again. Let's go to Chuck in Cleveland. Chuck, how are you?
Hey, Peter, thanks for taking the call. First and foremost, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, first and foremost, I'm a veteran. Okay, I love my country. I don't trust my government any farther than I could throw. But my point is, as Bob calls it, the DIE. Okay? Okay, you know what it is.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Yep, we talked about it at the top of the first hour. Go ahead.
I know. That's why I'm kind of closing your show up with it. But my point is, there's three examples. Karine Jean-Pierre. The woman couldn't answer a question or form a sentence in her best bet. It's called affirmative action, okay? And then we have Kamala Harris. Oh, I'm on the East Bank. I'm on the west side of the East Bank. Do you even know where you are? That doesn't even make sense. And then you have the other one, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who really likes sexual offenders and is soft on pedophiles. Oh, but I'm only hiring a black female. I heard that once before. When I took the postal exam in 1983, I had to pay $50, and I went and I took the test. I scored 107 out of a possible 100 because veterans got an extra 10 points. I went in for my interview, and after the interview, she says, well, I'm sorry. I wish I had a tape recorder. We're only hiring minority females right now. But we had a class of 35 people in there, and every one of them paid $50. I said, can I get my $50 back? She goes, no, I can't do that. I said, well, that's discrimination. She goes, yeah, well, the federal government can do that.
Well, the federal government, this is the thing that we could talk about this for a long time. It's against the law to discriminate on the basis of race. People have to remember that and understand that. What you hear a lot, especially from a state like California, which thinks that you can just simply distribute funds on the basis of race, unless you have a compelling state interest, the highest bar that there is in our civil jurisprudence. In fact, there's only one or two things that qualify as such, national security and law enforcement issues. You cannot discriminate on the basis of race. We'll talk about this at length. I'll try to talk about it after we come back from this break. I hear the music playing. And we will get into a little bit more what Chuck was talking about with respect to DEI. Pete Kersenow substituting for Bob France on Always Right, Salem 1420 Cleveland, Ohio. Kersenow sitting in for Bob France on Always Right. We've had phenomenal discussions here with I can't remember everybody. Jim, Sally, Tony, John, BJ, Luke, Lisa. I'm missing people. Jan, Joe, Sister Mary, Grace, of course, TJ, Chuck, you name it. We've been talking to a lot of people about a whole variety of things. The last conversation had to do with, among other things, racial preferences and, frankly, the toxicity thereof. Originally, I think it was well-meaning, but has developed into a racial spoil system. And what we see now, however, is rampant types of racial and sexual preferences afforded by our various levels of government. The law still pertains, though. It's being run roughshod because, unfortunately, the left has so many more lawyers on its side pushing the envelope. And one of the things that the left has likes to do, because 95% of the government is staffed by the left, is they will find some organization, you know, some alphabet organization to bring a lawsuit on behalf of some leftist cause and that against the government. And then what the leftists do who are in the government is they will, instead of defending, they will nominally defend the Constitution in the United States or the state's interest in the particular matter, but they will instead enter into a consent decree with the plaintiffs, which it surreptitiously moves the bar, it moves the envelope, so to speak, with respect to the status of the law. Rather than have an adjudication by an impartial arbiter, that is a judge, a magistrate, on the law, they simply enter into a voluntary, they voluntarily enter into a consent decree, which incrementally moves things in a leftist fashion. They're so much better than we are at this, because again, we only have a small handful of people on our side who litigate, and they're phenomenal. They're good, strong people, very smart. You know, I talk about Alliance Defending Freedom all the time. They're not the only ones. There are a number of organizations, but we are dwarfed. We are swamped by the left. So to the extent that you can afford to contribute a little bit of money to the cause, to say Alliance Defending Freedom, we need as much help as possible. If you can volunteer time, if you're a lawyer, that would be very helpful. Let me say a few things before the break about I think TJ was talking about, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre and Ketanji Brown Jackson. Ketanji Brown Jackson, you know, when Biden said, he said he is going to appoint a black female, that was one of the greatest insult to all females and all blacks that you can imagine. It's an affront to the American ideal. It's an affront to our Constitution. It's an affront to our history. And so he appoints Ketanji Brown Jackson, who purported to say she didn't know what a woman was. Think about this. We are a serious republic. This is one of the most serious confirmations you can ever have. For the Supreme Court, a lifelong position to interpret the Constitution of the United States of America, claiming she didn't know what a woman was. That's disqualifying on its face, whether you're black, brown, or green. Disqualifying. And I'll just use technical reasons for it, in addition to being a flat-out lie. How the heck can you adjudicate matters that come before the court pertaining to important issues related to, we have them all the time now, with respect to, how can you, she interpret a Title VII sex discrimination case if she doesn't know what a woman is? That is the follow-up question that our senators should have posed to her and many others. An abomination, folks, and we shouldn't sit by idly and allow this to be perpetrated upon we, the American people. We deserve much better. Pete Kersenow on Always Right. We're going into the last segment on Open Line Tuesday, 216-901-0945. And the lines are completely open right now. After we come back from the break, we'll take your phone calls.
Medicare Simple and the Floor King.
Folks, that's Rock Me by Steppenwolf. If you don't know what it is, too bad for you. Some of the great songs being spun by Johnny here. We are on Always Right. Pete Kersenow substituting for Bob France. It is Open Line Tuesday. This goes way, way, way too fast. I've got at least 8 more hours of stuff in me. I got all kinds of things to talk about, but let's go to Tom in Medina to see what he wants to talk about. Tom, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm phenomenal.
Okay, well, I want to have asked a second quick question. The first question I told the call screener, what looks to me like in all these last elections of the midterms, all the voters, they had voter suppression. In other words, their rights were violated in the way they conducted the election. You know how they did that? The machines weren't working and all this garbage. Isn't that a civil rights violation? I have a right to a vote, and that didn't happen. Can't the Civil Rights Commission do anything?
Here's the problem with the Civil Rights Commission. First of all, we don't have enforcement authority. All we do is make reports and recommendations, do research and investigate matters and supply that to Congress. That's what we do. We do not have the ability to impose sanctions, make judgments or anything like that. So we are not a court of law. We are not a prosecuting agency. But what we do is develop the bases by which the legislative branch and the executive branch can effectuate the purposes of the civil rights laws. Having said that, one of our principal charges is voting. And you may have heard me with my colleague, J. Christian Adams, who is the premier voting rights expert in the country. He was in the voting section of the DOJ for a long time. Now he runs his own shop, in addition to being on the Civil Rights Commission. And you're not hallucinating, Tom. I mean, you know, Tom is a smart guy who's been around, just like all of us. They try to tell us that we are not seeing what we're seeing all the time. It truly is astonishing. And as I've said before, I've been a lawyer for more than four decades. People lie to me all the time. People are always trying to pull the wool over your eyes all of the time. I am a pretty cynical person. I look at the facts, just the facts, ma'am. And if many of the facts do not compute, as an adult, you have to start asking yourself questions. Maybe you're wrong, maybe you're right, but it begs the questions related to the integrity of the voting process, and we have a duty as citizens of the United States to constantly ask these questions to preserve our republic and the integrity thereof and all of the processes associated with the founding, constitutional processes. So, yes, it's a long-winded answer to say, when I look at what happened, it's an abomination, among other things, what happened in Arizona, just from the standpoint of nothing seemed to be working. The United States of America, we're still counting votes 2 weeks after an election, and in the last presidential election, it went on forever and ever, amen. This is intolerable. We shouldn't be tolerating this. And whenever these kinds of things happen, whenever tens of thousands of ballots appear, you know, at the last minute, when voting machines don't work, whenever you have to resort to secondary and tertiary voting mechanisms, you have to ask yourself, what is going on? And if you look at it, and many of you have, almost every one of the discrepancies, almost every one of the malfunctions, almost every one of the questions seems to go in the direction of Democrats. All the time. Have you ever seen recently any circumstance where a dysfunction related to the elections process worked out to the benefit of a Republican? How does this happen? Just a sheer probability. How does it happen? It requires a question. You're not wearing a tinfoil hat if you ask the question. You have a duty, my fellow Americans. You have a duty to ask these questions. You are a patriot if you ask these questions. And maybe you're wrong about, maybe your suppositions are wrong. But that is the greatness of America. You have the right to be wrong, but you have a duty to ask the question. Tom, thanks very much. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick, how are you?
Good morning. Merry Christmas, everybody. We're replying to a caller who was talking about KGP and our vice president and Ketanji on the Supreme Court. One thing that's weird is they talk about systemic race in the country, but they all married Caucasian people. Look, are they lying to us?
No, I don't care who they're married to or anything of that nature. My concern is with the fact that we are we are appointing people, we are giving benefits, we are doing things on the basis of race. That is a prohibited, it is a protected class, but protected class does not mean anybody gets standards lowered or gets benefits as a result of any race, white, black, brown, anything in between. And one of the abominations that we see from the left constantly is they take this patronizing approach toward blacks and Hispanics, not so much Asians, they discriminate affirmatively against Asians. Witness the SFA, that's the Students for Fair Admissions against Harvard. Asians are affirmatively discriminated against. But it's an insult to black and brown people that they patronize toward black and brown people in the manner in which you do, as if we are the little brown, black and brown brothers and sisters who can't take care of themselves. They're not smart enough. They're not all the things I say at the outset, the smart enough, fast enough, all that stuff. They are not and can't compete on their own merits, and they coddle them in lower standards. And that's how you get a Karine Jean-Pierre who can't even read the scripts for herself that are written for her. That's how you get a Ketanji Brown Jackson who doesn't know what a woman is. She may be very smart on a lot of other things, but we have better people. And when, as I've said before, it is disqualifying when you say when you commit perjury. Frankly, she lied to the Senate when she said she didn't know what a woman is. Nobody believes that. And I will tell you, to all of the people on the Judiciary Committee, fine individuals, but if you're a Republican and still voted affirmatively, we know why you did it. We know why you did it. And shame on you. We deserve better as Americans. If you're going to appoint people, look at Clarence Thomas is one of the greatest justices in the history of the country. If you're going to appoint people, we've got thousands of competent black jurists out there. They just happen to be black. They understand the law. They will interpret the law the way it is written. But we have an affirmative action pick. As I have said in the past, all due respect to Ketanji Brown Jackson, who seems to be a very delightful person and smart enough. But if Biden or anyone else came to me, which would be a big problem, but if they came to me and said, I want to appoint you or nominate you to the Supreme Court, and as a predicate, he said, I want a black male who happens to be extremely good looking, I would reject it out of hand. It would be the greatest insult in the world, and it would be an insult to all black people, and it's an insult to all Americans. Do not tolerate this at any level whatsoever. We fought a civil war over this stuff.
Yep.
Patrick.
Hey, have a great holiday.
Thanks very much. Same to you and yours. Thank you very much to Bob France for allowing me to once again jeopardize his FCC license. Merry Christmas. And to all a good night.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.